Now, I don't know that I've ever done this exactly before. I just don't have words to describe how God showed up at the 8:30 service. It was through Hans. I thanked him after it for his obedience and yieldedness. And I hear people say all the time, I want to hear God. Get the 8:30 service. And I'm serious. I hear people, they ask me all the time, can you help me get direction from God? Get the 8:30 service. And I'm not about to dishonor what the Lord did by trying to summarize it. It's too rich for that. And if you hear it, He'll speak to you personally. You will get direction. Now, as a body, I'll only say this, as a body, we're at a transition. Because he said that also. And I was, you know, like all of us do, us meaning those that are going to speak from the podium, we seek the Lord and ask the Lord. I have 1,000 messages inside of me. So does Hans. So does Jim. So does Bronk. Anybody, you know. But that's not, unless he has us in a Bible school or something, that's not what we're supposed to do. And I was hearing him. I was hearing him really clear but I about this service today. And I kept kind of backing away from it because I don't feel qualified, to be honest with you. And I'm not, and I wasn't sure that we're ready until I heard the 8:30 service. So now I know why he was telling me to preach what I'm going to preach, what I'm going to say. I only have one verse to start, and I don't know where we're going after that. Thank you so much. Thank you. It's wonderful and awesome. This is the verse that I kept hearing, but it's not the part that he wants to emphasize today is not what we normally emphasize. It's Acts 1:8, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Very familiar verse. And again, it's not that I was exactly afraid to teach it. It just kept coming. I kept trying to, you know, look at other messages and other things that I could teach, but it just kept coming back around to this. I've never exactly taught it this way before. But then when I heard the message, when I heard what God was saying this morning at the 8:30 service, I knew this was the message. So here we go. Now, Hans started it off like this, and I'm going to do the same. I just want you to know I really love you. When Hans said that, somebody from the back went, uh-oh. Uh-oh. So here's the verse. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, for years we have emphasized you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and we should have emphasized it. We're still emphasizing it. It's absolutely true. You know what happens. This is Acts chapter 1. You know what happens in Acts chapter 2. It's the beginning of the fulfillment. This is that by spoken by the prophet Joel, that God began the process of pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. Because I've heard it preached here, you know, and it's, yes sir, I'm going to try not to take side trails if I can help it. I've heard it preached that this was only to the 11 or the 12, 11 at that moment. And that when the apostles died, Everything stopped, because this was only for them, because they were the actual witnesses that saw Jesus and so forth and so on. Trouble it is, that just won't fly. How many people were in the upper room? 11? 120. And how many had he appeared to after he was raised from the dead? It doesn't say over 500. So there could have been 500. I think there probably should have been 500, but anyway, there's 120. So we know it's more than just the 11. See, yeah, but still it was just those 11 apostles and once, you know, pardon me? Have you ever read about Stephen? Yeah. Have you ever read about Philip? No. It is unto you. The promise is unto you and to your children and unto all that are afar off. Now, the part he wants to emphasize today, and we've talked so much about how many, most of you at this point could teach on the baptism in the Holy Ghost and you shall receive power. Now, we're still not seeing the power to the fullness that we want. Now, I'm not going to try and listen to the 8:30 service. I'll tell you, it's holy. I'm getting instructions not to touch it. Okay? Because you need to hear it. Not think you heard it by me summarizing it. So what if I don't hear it? Yeah. You shall receive power. Yes, sir. Here, I'm going to read it one more time. And then we're going to go. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now notice, this is the part today. You shall be witnesses unto me. What is the purpose of the power? To be a witness. All right. Witness to what? That Jesus lived? That he is alive. I've got a good preacher right here on the second row. Hallelujah. Young lady, come in today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That he is alive. Well, okay. So I am to be a witness that Jesus not only lived. See, and that's really what they were to give witness of, that he is risen from the dead. What else? What else can you tell me about Jesus? I've never heard of Jesus. You're telling me you're a witness? What can you tell me about Jesus? Well, Jesus saves. Saves from what? Saves from hell, yeah. How does he do that? By saving you from your sin. By making you a new person. Does your life show witness to that truth? If you've been going through the fire for the last few years, more and more, your life should be showing the truth of that. The world can't tell a difference between them and you. Why would they listen to you? But the message today is not holiness, although that's a big part of it. There's a line, I don't know, I think it's anonymous. I don't know who first wrote this sentence. I know it's I looked it up on the internet. I kept hearing it. It's a lyric in a song that's a very popular song that's not current, but I mean, I don't remember the name of the song, but it's older than the song. Here it is. Best definition of holiness I've ever heard. Holiness is Christ in me. Best definition of holiness I've ever heard. Without Christ in you, you're not going to live holy. But the more he lives in you, the more holy your walk will be. So the Lord's been having us go through this fire, this purging. Just like John the Baptist prophesied, he said, there's one coming after me. I'm not even worthy to unlatch it his shoelace, you know. He is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Well, we've been going through a lot of fire. So we're a witness. And let's say that you have gone through the fire and your life is quite different. And the Lord even made reference this morning as he spoke to us that he's pleased with the things that have left our lives. He's pleased with that. You know, the Lord does. He's like a good father watching children grow up. And, you know, he's glad when we put away fleshly things, you know. But he also spoke of change that is still to come. And there was a phrase, I didn't catch on to it at first, so I don't know how many times this phrase occurs, but it's happened so often I wrote it down in that prophecy that came today. Because what he was saying, hang on. This is the sentence, several times in there. The Lord said, by way of the Holy Ghost, for those who are willing to die. For those who are willing to die. And then he would speak. And talking about us. For those who are willing to die. And that's so interesting because the word witness, you shall be witnesses unto me. The Greek word is maturo, M-A-T-U-R-O. It's where we get our word martyr. For those who are willing to die. Now, at the time that Jesus spoke that word, it did not mean martyr. It's come to mean that. Because so many of those who were faithful witnesses and would not compromise the truth, so many have been martyred for their faith that now in our time, the word martyr means when the first thing you think of is someone who was killed violently for their faith. But it didn't mean that then. What it meant then was a legal witness, in court. I am a witness. Well, how do you know Jesus is alive? Well, I'm a witness. Gary, you didn't live 2,000 years ago. What do you mean? You wasn't there to see him resurrected from the dead. No. But there's a song that talks about a woman and her alabaster box. And she poured out that precious ointment. And there's a line in there that says, you weren't there the night that he found me. You weren't there the day he wrapped his loving arms around me. You don't know the cost of the oil that's in my alabaster box. But I was there. And I'm a witness. And I've never been the same since. And I can sure share that part of my witness. I am a legal witness in any court. I was there. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. What else are we a witness to? Jesus heals. Now see, this is where I started to sidetrack a little. Because we've had so many in this church as well as other churches where we have prayed and milked every fiber of our being for faith, like Dave would say. And still, we've lost them to cancer and other things. But see, I need to be just as strong a witness that Jesus heals, that I am that Jesus saves. And so as I was praying about this, and I kept saying, Lord, I don't think I'm qualified. And then I heard the 8:30 service, and you're just going to have to hear it for yourself. And he took me to the Old Testament. And the spirit of Elijah. Do you know how the book of Malachi ends? You know, Malachi was the last prophet of the Old Testament. And there was not a prophet in the land for over 400 years. The next prophet to show up was John the Baptist. But the Malachi ends with, I will send the spirit of Elijah. I will send the spirit of Elijah. And of course, the people thought it was going to be, since Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind, they thought, well, really, it's going to be Elijah, you know. But Jesus defined it for us. He said, no, Elijah has come, and they have done with him whatever they wanted. And plainly tells you he was speaking of John the Baptist. But see, the last prophet, Malachi, he was prophesying to the people because they had turned far from God. Most Christians today only know Malachi 3:10. Because that's all I've ever been preached. If the Lord allows me, I'd love to teach the book of Malachi sometime. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. But, and it's been a very much abused. Anyway, see, no side trails. I will send you the spirit of Elijah. And he's going to turn the hearts of the people back to God. See, and that's exactly what Elijah did. If you go back and you study in the showdown on Mount Carmel. Now, at the time that he did this, it was the time of Ahab and Jezebel. The probably the most wicked rulers ever in the kingdom. And right then, during that most wicked time, with the most evil rulers, God raises up Elijah for a showdown on Mount Carmel. And I know the teacher in me wants to turn back and read it, but I believe he's just going to do it this way. There were 450 prophets, false prophets. These were prophets of Baal. Do you understand that Israel, for the most part, was worshiping a false god? They had turned so far from the true God. Well, when you worship those false gods, all kinds of things, abominations come in. And Israel was full of idols at the time. And there was sacrifices being made to these false gods. With Baal comes, if children, immoral things happening as acts of worship in those temples. ...450 prophets. One Elijah. Now he thought he was the only prophet. God had to tell him later, was it 7,000? I have 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. But in this showdown, you ever been outnumbered? I fought two guys one time. I lost. But I've never fought 450. See, in showdown times. See, if we're going to be witnesses, the reason he's bringing this up, if we're going to be witnesses, Jesus saves. Hallelujah. I'm a witness. I've got evidence. Look at my life. You can tell. Well, I'm going to skip over healings. What else does he do? Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost. He does baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Get baptized, speak in tongues, prophesy, have all the gifts of the Spirit. Glory to God. Hans gave some really good advice in there too, which I listened to the 8:30 service. See, I want to focus on Jesus heals because that's where our showdown is. I'll just tell you right now, that's where the showdown's going to be. Right there. So going back to Elijah, you know how it starts off. He says, listen, if Baal is God, worship him. But if God, Jehovah, I think it is, if I looked it up. If God be God, the God of Israel, if he's God, we'll worship him. So he called him to a showdown. Now you got 450 prophets. And he tells them, okay, you prepare your offering, you cut up the sacrifice, and you put it on the wood. Now don't put any fire under it, but you get it all ready. And then you call on the name of your God. Then I'm going to do the same thing, and I'm not going to put any fire under mine either. And I'll call on the name of our God, my God. Now listen, the God who answers by fire. He is God. And it says the people didn't say nothing. They were completely neutral. They didn't want to come out in support of Baal, and they did not want to come out in support of Jehovah. They shut up. So the prophets of Baal did exactly what Elijah said. They cut up their offering, it says bullock, whatever that is. They cut it up and they had it on the wood. And it says they spent all day from morning till the time of the evening sacrifice calling on the name of their god Baal to send the fire. And it says they repeatedly over and over again, and they would cut themselves. They would, you know, cuttings with blood. It said the blood just gushed out of them. I mean, it wasn't just little bitty. They were serious about this. And Elijah actually begins making fun of them. Maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's gone on a vacation. And anyway, there's more there. But they couldn't, no fire. It says there was no word and no fire. Their God did not speak and he did not do. Why? Because he's not God. So Elijah didn't think that was good enough, just one-on-one. So he prepares his, first he built 12, he took 12 stones and rebuilt the altar the way it's supposed to be. Then he cut up his bullock and put it on the wood. And then he said, fill these barrels with water. Douse the meat, douse the wood, and do it a second time. Then do it a third time. And it even filled up the ditch. He had a ditch running around that thing. That's confidence. See, and this is, get the 8:30 service. Get it. Yield to it. Do what God says there. Because he is calling us. I'm telling you right now. He's calling each of us to Mount Carmel showdowns. Because you know what happened when he called on Jehovah. It didn't matter. It didn't matter that it was doused with water. I mean, the fire came down. It said it consumed the sacrifice. It consumed the wood. It consumed the water in the ditch. It consumed the rocks. And the people got a clue. Suddenly they're very vocal. Suddenly they're choosing. Oh, it's like, I saw something. Now they're witnesses because they saw something. They were there when it happened. Jehovah, he is God. You shall be witnesses unto me. We're coming to many Mount Carmel showdowns with cancer, with blindness, with deafness, with little children that's got blastoma cancer in their brain or their eye. And you have the spirit of Elijah in you. Now see, John the Baptist was really the one that Malachi was prophesying about. But that spirit of Elijah, remember what did Elijah do? He turned the hearts of the people back to God. John the Baptist turned the hearts of the people by repentance back to God, but he also pointed out there is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But then what did Jesus do? It's Mount Carmel many times a day, every day. Nothing stopped him. What is he doing? He's turning the hearts of the people back to God. And it's Mount Carmel many times a day, every day. And it didn't matter what it was. Woman with the issue of blood, bowed over for how many years? Born blind. Born lame. Didn't matter. Didn't matter. Didn't matter what it was. Jesus is the witness. He is the messenger of the covenant. Malachi calls him the messenger of the covenant. And he says when he comes to his temple, hello temple, said he's going to come with a purging fire. And a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. That means to purge, burn everything out that needs to go and make you whiter than snow. It's time. Say it with me. I am a witness. The time has come. If God be God, we will serve Him. I am a witness that Jesus is alive. That Jesus saves. That Jesus heals. And that Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Now He's not calling us to run out of here and fail. What do you mean by that? Well, I've prayed for so many that died. That is not the witness. That is a failed witness, as far as I'm concerned. That would be like Elijah calling on God and no fire coming. All I can do is follow. John G. Lake spoke years ago that he saw something that bothered him. I won't say worried. I don't think he used word. But he saw something that he wasn't happy with. And even in his generation, which was right around the early part of the 1900s, he said, I see people that suddenly they have the ability to speak with tongues, but they don't manifest any power. Well, my goodness, if that doesn't describe the church today, including yours truly. So many of us, we can speak with tongues, and I thank God for that. I'm not diminishing tongues one little bit. I think Dave Roberson, now I don't want to get in trouble. I think Dave Roberson was sent by God to reestablish the gift of tongues in the earth. Same way Kenneth Hagin was sent to reestablish many of the truths about faith in the earth. And we don't need to let either one of them drop. We need to pick them both up. The message is saying. And I think God used Pastor Dave to lay a foundation. If there perchance might be a people hungry enough, not satisfied with churchiness, not satisfied with religionness, if that's a word, that can't live unless we see the truth manifested in the earth. And He's had us here in prayer and fasting and the Word and worship on purpose. Exactly what Malachi prophesies. When He comes, will you be able to hear? Gotta make see quick. Can I read that? Okay. I didn't know, I wasn't asking you if I could read it. Malachi. For behold, the day, this is Malachi 4:1, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, raise your hand, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. He's talking about maturity. You'll grow up. And you shall tread down the wicked. Now, He's not talking people here, I don't think. Could be, but He's really talking about our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. We shall tread down the wicked. They shall be ashes under the soles of our feet. In the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm going to back up one more chapter. Because here He talks about sending His messenger. This is Malachi 3:1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Now listen. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to His temple. Put your hand on your heart. The Lord whom we seek. Have we been seeking the Lord? Now He's in there, don't get me wrong. But a manifestation. Listen to the 8:30. The manifestation is going to change. The Lord whom you seek shall come. How many love the word suddenly? suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, and that's Jesus, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now listen. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner. Now, where is he sitting? In the temple. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi. Sons of Levi means priests. He has made us kings and priests. He's coming to the temple. This is Dave Roberson 101. This is the message Dave was sent to deliver to the world. How do you do it? Beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, who also helpeth with our infirmities. Thank God for the new nature that helps us with our infirmities, but he also helps us with those infirmities, those weaknesses, those things that keep holding us back. It's called unbelief. He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. How do you purify gold and silver? Fire. There is no other way that I know of. And right at the beginning of the year 2020, I saw that wall of fire. And he didn't really say it. You could just see it because it extended all the way to the left. Far as I could see to the right, it's too high to go over. No way to go under. There is no way forward. There is no way forward except going through the fire. Well, how many know we've been in it for a while? Still in it. He'll purge them as gold and silver. Why? That they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. I'm just going to tell you right now. That is Romans 12:1. I'm telling you right now, the offering he's after is your body. Holy. Beloved, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. And this is your reasonable service. Malachi saw it ahead of time. And the Lord has come, and he's come into the temple now. He had to go through the cross, the burial, the resurrection, be raised to the right hand of God so he could become the last Adam. He is the firstborn of many brethren. We are the many brethren. A whole species of people raised from the dead species of Adam that did not even exist before. And he is purifying and has been purifying a group of people, taking us through the fire of the Holy Ghost and fastings and the Word, transforming us so that we can present these bodies holy and acceptable to the Lord. I have to just trust him now. See, listen, what says in Corinthians more than once, we are members of his body. He has no body on, no physical body on earth now, but ours. That you present your bodies. We've almost, because we've used the word flesh so much, I find it really more than interesting that both Jim and Bronk this past week or two, were talking about the flesh and what the flesh really is and what it's not. See, really, your body itself is not really the flesh. It's a part of it. There are appetites of the flesh, but it's coupled with the unrenewed part of the mind. That's why Romans 12:2 follows Romans 12:1. The only way to present your body a living sacrifice, your mind has to be renewed. That's Romans 12:2, that you be no longer conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, I'm just following him. The other vision was when he drove out the money changers and the animals. He had that whip. I always, for years, I thought it was one of those long whips, you know, like you whip people. But I looked up the word, and it's not. It's a little, it's got a little short. It's something you use to herd animals with. You know, you just kind of give them a little touch on the flank, and they'll obey you. But his own, can you imagine the filth, the sound of the animals, the smell? I think my temple was a lot like that when I got born again. Smelly, dirty, greedy, lots of greed. But see, Jesus, it says, it was only after he drove all of that out. Only after, does it say, then they came to him in the temple. And they brought unto him the blind and the lame, and he healed them. And that tells me he doesn't take his place until the temple is clean. I wish I already had that 8:30 prophecy in my hands. It's so timely. It's almost too good to be true. But the Lord doesn't lie. Our mount, ready or not, I think's what it says. They didn't use those words, but it's Mount Carmel time. See, if you're going to be a witness, and that's the verse that he wanted me to preach, you shall be witnesses unto me. Well, witness to what? Again, witness that Jesus saves. He's alive. He saves. He baptizes with the Holy Ghost, and Jesus heals. Well, you're trying to tell a Muslim that. I just tell you right now, I have met Muslims who love Allah more than many Christians I've met who love Jesus. Let's tell you the truth. To the point it made me scared myself a little bit. Like, I think he loves Allah more than I love you, Lord. But see, they have no power. There is no Holy Ghost working with them. They can't be a witness in the same way. They do the deeds of their father, all right, but it's to blow things up and cut people's heads off. Things man can do. See, man can't drive cancer off. Not the way. Man can't raise anybody from the dead. You got to have the Holy Ghost for that. So this, to say I'm talking to a Muslim that really loves Allah, and I've met them who really love Allah. And I tell him, well, I'm here to tell you about Jesus. Who is Jesus? Well, he's the Son of God. First thing they'll tell you, do you know one of the high tenets in the Muslim world is God has no son? It's one of their top things. God has no son. Allah has no son. You say, well, Jesus is the Son of God. See, Jesus is in their Quran, but he's just called a prophet. No, he is the Son of God. What? You're trying to witness to this guy and trying to convince him that there's only one God and he has a son. His name is Jesus, that he died for your sins. And on the third day, he was raised again to new life. Now he is Lord of all. He saves, he baptizes in the Holy Ghost, and he heals. And right about then, he says, he heals? Jesus heals today. You're a witness. Here's my blind daughter. She was born blind. Show me. It's Mount Carmel time. That's exactly where he's called us. And if I heard the 8:30 prophecy right, now, it's a change of season. Coming through the other end of the fire and going to work. And not just Hans and Alan and Tim and whoever else. You shall be witnesses. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In my name, those that believe will cast out devils. Those that believe will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They'll have such a supernatural walk that if an enemy even tries to poison them, it won't harm them. In my name, they'll speak with new tongues. I believe we're going to get that candle. That doesn't matter what I believe. Okay. It was a good statement. It's just not him. Not at this moment. Hans knows what I'm going through. I hear again. I've been hearing this almost every service, and I don't really know if it's just for someone here, someone watching, and it doesn't really matter to me whether you're watching today or 10 years from today, if the Lord tarries. Because I keep hearing somebody, the enemy keeps telling you it's too late. You started too late. Maybe you've dragged your heels too long and now it's too late. Or maybe I just got here too late. You know, but the enemy is trying to convince you it's too late. It is not too late. The Lord, did you hear that word suddenly? The Lord can do a quick work. You need to repent. You need to quit messing around. Okay? When it's just need to obey what the Holy Spirit's prompting you to do. Not my job. I'm not the teacher, really. I'm not the trainer. I'm not your Lord. I am trying to be a servant that he can speak through. But whatever the Lord's been saying to you, you need to do it. And quit using it's too late as an excuse, man. I didn't realize that. See, it's too late means I don't need to go to prayer. It's too late now. There's no need for me to fast. No. Look at how long you guys been doing this and you're not walking in miracles. Well, the Lord brought out the 4-minute mile again through Hans this morning. Everybody thought it was impossible. Nobody could break that four. You know, we're talking about the first time somebody ran a mile in under 4 minutes. Is that right? The 4-minute mile. And many people tried it. They tried it for decades. Nobody could do it. None of them could do it until one man did it. All of a sudden, another man did it. And then another man did it. And then another man did it. And what was impossible now, suddenly many people could do it. I'm telling you, it's going to be exactly like that. When it starts breaking out. Mark Cooper, stand up, please. Let me use you for a moment. Mild-mannered. See, he looks like Clark Kent, but on the inside, that's Superman right there. Now, when you see Superman fly, you're going to fly too. You understand what I mean by that? When you start seeing the miracles flow from Mark's hands like water, you're going, if Mark can do it, if Mark can run the 4-minute mile, I can run the 4-minute mile. Thank you, Mark. I'm just saying, that's exactly how it's going to be, and it's going to spread quickly. And so will the opposition. And you'll be so glad. How did Dave say it? You will be thanking God for every hour you prayed, every meal that you pushed away from, every hour that you gave Him in worship, every moment you spent meditating His Word. You're going to be so thankful because you'll be able to stand when the opposition comes. I keep opening up in case He wants to prophesy, but you want to know the truth of what I'm hearing? I already did. He spoke what He wanted to say. And He's talking about the 8:30 service. The Lord loves you tenderly. The Lord knows you better than you know yourself. The Lord knows where you've obeyed Him. And the Lord knows where you've... And He's being real nice today. Where you've been dragging your heels. That's what I hear, the way I hear it. That sounds better than disobey. And dragging your heels. He's calling us into the deeper water. Walk out farther. If you're ankle deep, go knee deep. If you're hip deep, and many I hear right now, many are hip deep. They can feel the current of the river on them. They know the direct. They can sense the direction that I'm trying to take them. They can feel my pressure. Where I'm trying to take them. They can feel the current is the best way to say it. If you're hip deep in a river, you could feel it, couldn't you? But see, your toes at this moment are still touching the bottom, and you're still in control because of that. Many have been standing hip deep for a long time when the Lord's been saying, come. Come deeper. But Lord, if I come any deeper, my toes are going to leave the bottom. See, and once that happens, then the river will take you where you need to go. He's calling us to come out, come deeper. Come deeper. Surrender all the way now. For this, you shall be witnesses unto me. Saith the Lord. You shall be witnesses unto me. Says the Lord. You shall be witnesses unto me. Says the Lord. And you shall be witnesses unto me. Says the Lord.